House Rules Committee is coming to order. It is exactly 9 o'clock because we always start on time. Today's Wednesday, April 16th. Present Representative Chenault, Hawker, Keller, Vice Chair Olson, Grunberg, and Chair Johnson. I have on my notes that Representative Hawker is previously excused because I think he had a bill, but I think he is here. Thank you. So,
capable staff
unlike the our rules committee, we don't force the senators to testify. They let you get off. Okay. We have three bills before us today. Two of them are basically because it's the only bill they heard. You have to have one committee referral, and so this is the one committee they have before they can advance to the floor of their Senate bills. So before us, we are going to start with SB 200, wrongful death of an unborn child. Senator McGuire is obviously not here. So if you would state your name for the record. Before we do that, though, we do have a CS. Mr. Vice Chairman, could we have that CS before us?
Certainly. I move to adopt the work draft for 28-LS1382/U as the working document for Senate Bill 200.
And I will object for the purposes of discussion. Any objection other than mine? Okay, thank you. Put your name on the record and
thank you, Mr.
begin.
My name is Amy Saltzman, and I'm staff to Senator McGuire. Thank you so much for taking the time to hear this bill this morning. Jackson's Law is about the wrongful death of an unborn child and being able to seek cause of action. There is no loss more devastating than the loss of a child, no matter the child's age. Currently, in Alaskan statute, there is no clear civil recourse for families suffering with the loss of an unborn child through the unlawful or negligent acts of another person. In 2006, a law was passed to change the criminal liability for the death of an unborn child. That law established that the unborn can be victims of murder, manslaughter, and criminally negligent homicide in a criminal court. Jackson's Law, or Senate Bill 200, would mirror that law, allowing Alaska families and parents to have the same civil recognition for their loss.
Okay, any questions of the Representative Grunberg?
Thank you.
Before we do that, can you explain the differences, and before we start asking questions, the difference in the original version of this one? Let's get that on the record, and then we can ask questions. But I've got you first on the
I can do it if she doesn't.
So she can do it?
Yeah.
Briefly, just to explain, it came to the sponsor's attention that in some civil cases, there was an ability for families to seek action against the wrongful death of an unborn child using the statute 915-010, and that's the parents or guardian may sue for injuries or death of a child. And the issue there is just that unborn wasn't written into that statute, so it wasn't clearly defined. It ended up just being left up to the court's interpretation of that. So this law here is to really clarify that law now exists, and that for further cases moving forward, we'll have that law on the books, so it's always a right of action for families. So these changes are really a reflection of that. On page 1, line 1, we amended the title. An act relating to an action for the death of an unborn child in certain circumstances. We deleted establishing a right of action, and we inserted relating to an action. And that was because we didn't want to, you know, assume that there already was this or wasn't an action when there actually could have been by the interpretation of the court. On page 2, lines 5 and 6, we inserted C. This action does not limit any other cause of action that a parent may maintain for the death of an unborn child. And again, that's just to clarify that if there was another action sought, this law is separate and holds its own weight in that. On page 2, lines 10 through 13, we inserted a new section, and that is just to that this act applies to actions arising from wrongful death or omission that take place on or after the effective date of this act. And that's, again, just to re-clarify for the third time that we are talking about cases that are moving forward and not cases that are already existing.
Thank you, Amy. Griffin Grunberg, questions?
Just kind of a comment dialogue for a minute, if I could.
Okay.
This was similar to House Bill 158 that we had in Judiciary, 258, that I worked on. I think that these changes are good. The Wrongful Death Act, which is 0915015, as I recall, says parent or guardian. Of course, an unborn child can't have a guardian because it hasn't been born yet. That just doesn't apply unless it's a viable, you know, a child that's born. I had a question as to what would happen in a case when both parents were killed. Let's say it was an accident and the mom's pregnant. Parents are killed and the fetus is killed too. There's obviously no parent. And I asked Ledge Legal, and Megan Wallace, who was the bill drafter on this, did a little opinion that I wasn't going to, I mean, I can give it out, but I can just tell you what it says. The survival statute, ASO 955570, provides that if somebody doesn't survive, then a personal representative is appointed. Therefore, accordingly, if the parents died in the same action as the unborn child or was otherwise deceased, any claim that could have been maintained by the parent would survive and would be brought by the parent's personal representative. And I said, do we have to say personal representative? And she said, no, and that's correct. You just say the parent because they step into the shoes of the parent. That's one question I kind of want to put on the record here.
And is there a question in there? No, go ahead, man. Go ahead, Representative Grimberg. He answered his own, yeah.
No, I think it's important.
It's good to have it on the record.
And the other thing is there was a case on this, and it's mentioned somewhere in a statement. The case was Mace, M-A-C-E, versus Jung, J-U-N-G, 210 Federal Sup 706 from the District of Alaska Federal Court in 1962 by Judge Hodge, the chief judge of the district at the time. And there wasn't any law on this in the state at the time. And the action there, what the question was, it was a motion to dismiss for the death of a non-viable unborn child. And Judge Hodge adopted the rule and applied it in that case that you could not maintain an action for a non-viable unborn child. This case, this law, will effectively reverse that case because when we did Lacey's law, we didn't have the distinction between viable and non-viable. So I just wanted to put on the record that once this law is signed, that Mace versus Young will no longer be good law.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments?
No, I support the bill.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for the sponsor? Hearing and seeing none, I'll remove my objection and in doing so adopt the working draft. At this time, I'd like to move to public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Hearing and seeing none, is there anyone online who would like to testify? Okay. Hearing and seeing no testimony, public testimony, I will close public testimony. That brings the bill back before the committee. Is there any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none, what is the will of the committee? Mr. Vice Chairman.
I move to report Senate Bill 200 is amended out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 200 passes out of committee. That brings before us SB 201, Notice Against Trespass. This is once again the only committee of referral. This is a technicality as much as anything, but certainly as any committee, we have the ability to do what we want to do, so or what we need to do. With that, I'd bring the sponsor or the sponsor's representative up. If you please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Darwin Peterson, staff to Senator Stedman. Current state law gives a person who enters or remains on unimproved or apparently unused land the privilege to do so unless notice against trespass is given. There's two ways that notice against trespass can be given. It can be in person or it can be by posting a sign. Alaska Statute 1146.350C has specific requirements for posting no trespassing signs. such as they must be at least 144 square inches in size, must contain the name and address of the landowner or the landowner's representative, must be posted at every roadway and access point to the property. In the case of an island, it must be posted on the perimeter of each cardinal point of the island. Furthermore, the sign must state what specific activities are prohibited, such as no fishing, no hunting, no digging. Senate Bill 201 proposes to remove from statute AS 1146-350C, thereby removing the excessive requirements for posting numerous no trespassing signs. If we don't do this, Mr. Chairman, intentional trespassers will continue to use this section of statute as a legal defense to enter and remain on private land. All they have to do is find an access point that isn't posted. Many Alaskans own private property in remote locations with severe weather. No trespassing signs can be blown down. They can be removed by vandals, covered by snow. The lack of visible signage at every access point to your property should not be a legitimate excuse for trespassers. It should be the responsibility of the individual to find out beforehand if the property they want to use is public or private. Finally, Mr. Chairman, I just want the committee to know that this won't result in a flood of criminal trespass charges against the average citizen who is out for a hike and wanders across someone's private land. In the 1987 case of Johnson versus State, the court established a prerequisite for conviction for the offense of criminal trespass. The state is obligated to provide beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant knowingly remained on the premises after personally being ordered to leave. And finally, this won't change the legal right of a person to use private property in an emergency. AS 1146-350 provides an affirmative defense against prosecution if someone enters and uses private property in the case of immediate and dire need. That concludes my testimony, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Darwin. Any questions of the sponsor's representative? Going once. Okay. Hearing no questions, we will move to public testimony. Thank you, Darwin. I'm sure you may be back. I'm going to open public testimony. With that, I'm going to go offline. Rod Arno in the Matsu, are you there?
Yes, I am, Chairman Johnson.
Would you please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please?
Yes, my name is Rod Arno. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Outdoor Council, which represents 48 clubs and about 10,000 Alaskans. And AOC appreciates having the opportunity to give public testimony on this bill. That certainly we appreciate the sponsors putting this bill forward. It's timely now that there's at least 12% of the state that's private property, and a lot of that undeveloped in Angsga lands that's been transferred. This is a reoccurring issue, and the Outdoor Council does support private property rights. Our only concern is having the availability of adequate mapping from DNR to know when you are on state public domain, and then therefore the responsibility should fall on the state. And to date, the state would be unable to provide coordinates for state public land to let the average Alaskan know that he is on public domain. At this point, we do not oppose the bill, and we would like to see some of these other provisions added to it at a later date, possibly. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Rod. Any questions for Mr. Arnold? Captain Burke Waldron with Palmer with the Wildlife Troopers, are you online, and are you here to testify or questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just here to answer questions.
Okay, thank you. I had that hit to testify, so we do have Alaska Wildlife Trooper online for any questions you may have. I also have in Fairbanks, LIO, Al Beret. Al, if you would put your name on the record, state your affiliation, if any, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is, for the record, my name is Al Beret. I do reside in Fairbanks. I do have some concerns about this bill. I'd like to echo the ALC's recommendation that the state start mapping out their state lands and making that available for public technologies, like it says in the sponsor statement, that we do have these technologies, but without the boundaries, we can't make them work in our technologies. I would, for just a short bit here, tell you some unintended consequences to posting property or not posting property in a very personal situation that happened to me in 2009. In July of 2009, I was dip netting on the Chittenah River, and while I was doing that, I was approached by two land officers for the corporation down there, and they claimed I was trespassing on their property and demanded a $20 trespassing fee for doing so. I gladly paid them with the stipulation that I didn't believe I was trespassing and that I would research it. Several days later, with going to DOT and researching all the maps, which took quite a bit of time to find out all the boundaries, I wasn't on their land, and it took me till December 1st of 2009 to be reimbursed for the $20 that they collected from me. And so you can see that, you know, this trespassing issue can go both ways on claiming what's property and what's not. I'd also like to point out that, you know, I use a lot of the RS4 277 right-of-ways in this state, and none of them are mapped out or surveyed. And so where the state's claiming state right-of-way and some property owners claiming property, this could be a very troublesome and convoluted process of am I trespassing or not when it comes down to do I leave or not when a landowner claims this is his property and the state's claiming it's a right-of-way. So I'd keep that all in mind and approach this bill very cautiously. There's a lot of pitfalls to this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Sabrett? Thank you, Al. With that, we'll move into the room. Is anyone in the room who'd like to testify on this bill? Hearing and seeing none, I will close public testimony. I would like to recognize that Representative Heron has just joined us. We now have any questions or discussion by the committee? Representative Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say that we did hear the House version of this in House Judiciary, and we came to the very same conclusion as what is reflected in this bill. It's not a perfect solution, and like Rod pointed out, you know, 12% private land in Alaska, and as testimony bears out, you know, it isn't mapped really well, but there is no easy fix, and this is a good bill because it is a bad attempt to try to control that that part that is taken out in it. So I support the bill.
Thank you. Any other discussion for the committee? Representative Grimberg.
Yeah, the other bill, just for the record, is House Bill 375, and originally this bill and that bill, I believe, also repealed subsection B of Section 350, but we limited it, just like the Senate did here, to subsection C, because the notice in subsection C, as the law currently reads, is just too detailed, and people won't know, you know, if it's 144 square inches or not. I mean, no landowner is going to go and measure their notice, and we tried to make this reasonable because this is Alaska, and we wanted it so people aren't getting prosecuted, and on the other hand, property rights are protected. And I think this was a reasonable solution.
And we are, in fact, the land of reason. Any additional questions for the sponsor or discussion? Hearing and seeing none, what's the will of the committee?
I move to report Senate Bill 201 out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 201 passes out of committee. Tell the senator we'll expect to see him in the meeting next time. With that, we'll take a brief at ease and go ahead and sign the paperwork.
We rescind our actions on Senate Bill 201.
And the purpose of that is there's a CS, and we didn't make the proper amendment, so we're just going to put it on the record that we're adopting the CS. It's just for discussion. Any questions about that? Any objections to rescinding our action? Representative Olson? There are no objections. It is rescinded. That brings the bill before us. Representative Olson?
I would move that we would adopt Senate Bill 201 Judiciary out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, CS for Senate Bill 201 passes out of the committee. That brings before us House Bill 287, to soil royalty oils. I think the members have an amendment before them. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt Amendment Number 1, being 28-GH2862/N.1.
And I will object for the purposes of discussion. Mr. Speaker, would you like to speak to this, or would you like your staff?
I'll have my staff come out and talk to us.
Mr. Wright, for the record, if you'd state your name and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's indeed an honor to appear before the House Rules Committee. My name is Tom Wright. I'm staff to Speaker Chenault. What this amendment does basically is put the Agrium plant into the bill as far as the tax credits and any other credits that are included. Right now, Agrium's looking at inspecting, assessing, and possible renovation of the existing facility. It's a $200 million project. It requires a temporary workforce of about 440 workers. About $75 million in direct labor income over the two-year rehab time frame. The hydrocarbon processing facility would include the Agrium plant within the amendment. The amendment also changed the definition to include urea and ammonia.
Any questions of the sponsor or the sponsor's representative? Hearing and seeing none, we will move on to public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify on this bill? Is there anyone in online that would like to testify or off net? Just give everybody plenty of time. We'll make sure that we give everybody an opportunity who's there. Hearing and seeing none, we will close public testimony. With that, I will remove my objection to the amendment. Is there or are there further objections? Hearing and seeing none, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. That brings the bill before us. Is there any committee discussion? Representative Hawker.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I've spent a lot of time looking at this bill. The tesoro royalty provisions I have absolutely no issues with. And I also recognize the time constraints that the legislative process is facing with this legislation, and I would only ask that as this bill moves forward through the other body, the agencies, particularly Department of Revenue, as there is a tax credit involved in this now, takes a very good look at those provisions and makes certain that they are the most cost-efficient and technically effective means of accomplishing the desired outcome that I think was established when they were introduced here up in House Finance. And I'd also ask very much that Department of Revenue and Department of Natural Resources take a very good look at the definition of qualified infrastructure expenditure to make certain that it is very clear, very concise, and achieves the desired outcome. As I would specifically note that, according to the fiscal note, the Department of Revenue does not intend on adopting any regulations as a result of the passage of this bill. So the statute has to be crystal clear and very understandable by everyone. But again, I don't want to hold up the bill in the process as we look at what our time frame is, but I do hope that Department of Revenue will take a chance to take a really good look at this.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. I would like to have some comments from the administration just to see what they, just because it's fun to bring Joe before us, I think. Would you put yourself on the record and state your name? And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Joe Balash, Commissioner Designee for the Department of Natural Resources, and I'll be happy to make sure that we get the Department of Revenue to give the definition a scrub. I would like to compliment the speaker on the amendment. I think in principle we support what he's trying to do. We think it's very important to grow the gas demand side in the Cook Inlet Basin, and that'll help drive exploration and development dollars. With regard to the language, however, we just saw it this morning. I think taking a hard look at all of the words is going to be something we can commit to, and I just hope that means you'll be flexible on your schedule sometime this weekend for concurrence.
or Monday, Tuesday. thank you. Any questions of the department? Commissioner designee? Hearing, seeing none. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
With that, is there any further committee discussion? Are there any questions? Hearing, seeing none, what are the wishes of the committee? Representative Olson.
I still don't know how I feel on this, but I move to adopt House Bill 287, Finance as amended, with attached recommendations and fiscal notes.
Forthcoming.
It's forthcoming.
Okay, are there any objections to the adoption of 287? Hearing, seeing none, 287 is adopted. This is almost like a confirmation hearing. The adoption of this bill is not an indicator of how anyone will vote, either for or against, when this actually comes to the floor. So with that, is there any other business to come before this body? Hearing, seeing none, it is 9:31, and we stand adjourned.